This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world-famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, is the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm wearing my free T-shirt Dirty Ron McDonald gave me.
I like it. I like it. Fuck House. All right. I
must give him a shout-out. I played his comedy show last Friday in San Diego. Paid me as soon as I got there. Cash.
Before performing?
That's how it should be. Whoa. So I hope Dirty Ron quits wrestling and gets into booking.
Awesome, man. Well, that's good to hear. I'm we do not have a guest today because we're going to go over the Extreme Rules pay-per-view card. We're going to give our predictions. We're actually going to write these down this time because there may be a championship belt on the line. We'll see how that goes. Let's jump right in. Obviously, the biggest story in wrestling right now, which would be surprising because it's like this year has been insane. Can you believe that this year was when Cody left AEW? Like, it feels like 20 years ago compared to, you know, all the stories we've got.
This has been a great year to be a wrestling fan. You know,
yeah.
We've got a mini Monday, Wednesday night war going, and, you know, even Rampage is, I guess, you're kind of comparing it to what NXT does number wise and, you know, all the movements and potential free agents. I haven't seen a year like this in probably a decade.
Yeah, we got a Ric Flair match that you attended and roasted Ric Flair. Like Vince McMahon retired. I mean, it's a wild year in wrestling. But the top story, I think, in everybody's mind right now is the White Rabbit. We're still getting teased. The latest tease actually included the coordinates of where Extreme Rules is going to be and the date and time. So obviously whoever the White Rabbit's going to be is going to debut at Extreme Rules. Now, I at first was really into this. I thought it was marketing genius, but it's getting a little crazy. I mean, there's Morse code. There's messages in the source code, meaning you have to like find if there's an image, you have to click and hit view source and then read through all this code shit and you'll find either lyrics to Malachi Black's original theme song or just random shit. The Morse code ended up spelling out Bel Air, which, I mean, unless The Fiend is coming back to fight Bianca Belair, I don't know what that's about. And then one of the most recent messages had the name Gacy, who is it's one of the NXT guys, Joe Gacy, who kind of has a Wyatt vibe to him. He's kind of chunky. He does a lot of preachy stuff, like very culty. So you imagine that on Extreme Rules, it's just the call-up for Joe Gacy and not Wyatt. I think that place will burn to the ground.
Well, that's the thing. This is starting to have a very AEW-like feel to maybe they thought it was going to be Wyatt and they couldn't sign him, and now they're kind of locked into that, oh, man, we thought we had him. So I think if it's anyone but Wyatt, it's a major blunder.
Yeah.
It's just the build-up, and then, oh, it's Gacy. Nothing against him. He's just not.
Yeah, he's not Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's going to be anyone. I know there were several other, I've actually done research on this for once on a WWE subject. There's several other potential free agents are kind of floating out there, but it's got to be Wyatt or it's a huge. If it's not Wyatt, I will make this prediction. Monday after the pay-per-view, no one will talk about one match. They will be talking about it wasn't Wyatt.
Yeah, pretty much. I think John thought it was, you said it was Cody today.
It's Cody.
You're out of control.
Cody's not injured. He's coming. He's making his return. Honestly, I think Triple H went on record and said it's somebody nobody's talking about. So I would be shocked if it was Wyatt. That being said, if it is Wyatt and Triple H was lying, that also sets people up to just not know what to believe and what not to believe, which is kind of good. What AEW is doing with all these fights that are happening backstage. Apparently there's better action backstage than in the ring.
Hey, you know, I mean, there's a lot of testosterone back there, a lot of big heads and egos. You know, I know you think it's all a work, but if you hang around these dudes long enough, you understand why I don't think this is a work. There's just a lot of attitude back there.
If it's not a work, then I'm embarrassed for these guys as human. Like, these are grown men tweeting angry high school bullshit at each other on Twitter and then fighting in the schoolyard. Like, it's just embarrassing as humans.
I would never tweet out stuff like that.
No, you know better, Batman. I mean, not Batman.
Against another man my age.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's embarrassing for Andrade specifically because Sammy's still a kid.
Yeah, but Andrade doesn't speak English and is still wrecking him. So
yeah, there's that.
It looks worse for Sammy.
Well, I mean, in the sense of like talking, you know, childishly on the internet, like I not that I forgive, but I understand it from Sammy because he's a kid. He's a fucking, you know, brat. And he's had beef with everyone. He's had beef with Eddie Kingston. He's, you know, he's just, there's a lot of trouble with him backstage. And no one seems to be like, maybe Sammy's the problem, but I don't know. I don't know. I haven't been around him, so I don't really know. But yeah, like you said, if it's anybody but Wyatt at this point, it's just going to make everybody mad. If it is Joe Gacy, the only way it'll work is if it's him coming out to say that he's going to summon his master or something, or his cult leader or whatever, and then it's Wyatt at like a mania or something big.
I don't think that works.
But like, that doesn't work either. I think it'll still piss people off.
It's got to be Wyatt or bust at this point.
Yeah.
And just real fast on Sammy and Andrade. Yeah, it's rumored that Sammy said something to the effect of, go back to WWE. That's what we know you all want. If that's true, it's like you're going to be buried in WWE too. Like, where do you think he's going to be in the pecking order of WWE? And you know Triple H and Vince hold grudges.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit different because the reason that he was given his release was because they wanted to stay in good graces with Charlotte. So if he goes back to the WWE, I think he gets to go wherever he wants to go as long as they want to do business with Charlotte.
I mean, I think he'll get an initial push.
Yeah.
You know, and then like almost week by week, it'll be like, you know, now you're being a segment with, I don't know, Kofi Kingston.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened with him at AEW. He premiered like this big thing at his debut, and then nothing.
Also can't punish Zelina Vega and make her be his escort again. Like, she's carving out her own thing, and I know that's Triple H's bread and butter to just take someone who doesn't speak English, give them a good speaker, and let them do their thing. But I would hate to see, I mean, she's not doing much now, but I would hate to see her go backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has a match tomorrow night on...
Nope, it got canceled.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to it. It's number four on the list.
Supposedly.
Oh, because... Okay, yeah, well... Yeah.
We'll get to that part.
We'll see.
We'll get to that part. So another piece of information about this White Rabbit thing. It was reported that Rob Fee, former Marvel comic writer and producer for Disney Plus, was hired as longtime creative director. So they're pushing for long-term storytelling, and apparently he's the one behind this whole White Rabbit thing. And back in before the pandemic, before the Wyatt release, he pitched a Fiend movie to WWE, and they were all about it. They were ready to set it into production, and then Vince fired Bray Wyatt. So then it got canned. But he's the one behind the White Rabbit teases. He's got a good mind for long-term storytelling. Apparently, he's a big wrestling fan. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
I don't think a Fiend movie would do well. Like, you talk about a limited audience. Like, that would be like a hockey movie. It's just like, and I'm a big Bray Wyatt guy, as you know.
Yeah.
I would see it. But, you know, outside of the three of us, maybe some Wyatt family members and Mike Rotundo. That's a real, you know, this guy might not be around long if he's pitching a Fiend movie.
See No Evil wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, surprisingly.
I mean, I did like some of the early WWE movies, like the first Marine. Pretty good.
Yeah, but See No Evil with Kane, if you have a good director attached, if you go through Blumhouse, I mean, they'll probably produce it themselves, but you can get a good horror movie out of it.
I don't know if Bray Wyatt can act. I mean, obviously he's got on-camera experience, you know, doing shtick, but like, that's not acting, you know. If you put him in a scene with, you know, they'll get someone like, say, Robert Patrick, who was the bad guy in Terminator 2. He's a pretty good actor. I don't know if I would feel comfortable, you know, with that big of a acting gap. But hey, what do I know? I just work here.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Robert Patrick's brother, Richard Patrick, of the band Filter. I didn't
know that.
Yeah, crazy.
Is this man not amazing? I mean, like...
Get out of here.
I thought I was full of useless information. How, Most people don't even know who Robert Patrick is. He knows who his brother is.
His brother sings in Filter and was a member of Nine Inch Nails.
At the one brains point. Of this podcast to my left and right.
All right. Well, we'll see this Saturday, right? That's Extreme Rules is this Saturday. Am I right?
Yes.
I believe
sorry,
so.
I'm just reading the news about Sarah Lee.
Yeah, Sarah Lee, rest in peace. I just saw that on the way here. 30 years old, passed away. She was the winner of Tough Enough, WWE's Tough Enough in 2015. You know, thoughts and prayers and condolences to the family and friends and her husband and her kids, apparently.
Do we know how it happened?
I don't know the exact reason, but apparently her last tweet was a couple days ago, and she had just beaten a sinus infection and felt good enough to go back to the gym. And then this happened. So I don't know if it's related. Maybe it is. Probably is. But I haven't gotten the whole report. I read it on the way in here. So
I mean, the sad thing is most people don't really die of natural causes at 30. But hopefully she went peacefully.
Yep. All right. So we'll see Saturday who the White Rabbit is. Number two, we got LA Knight coming back. Yeah. Finally, he used to go by the name Eli Drake in the Indies. I was kind of hoping they'd go back to that, but I'll take LA Knight, even though that's such a hacky name. But anyway, he's done with the Maximum Male Models, thankfully, because that, even though I find it hilarious, I'm a big fan of the movie Zoolander. I think it's great. I don't think he's being used properly in that faction. I think they're fine with the Maxine, you know, the models with Maxine is fine. Eli Drake has the mic skills and the in-ring work to be a top star, to be the next, like, big, I wouldn't say, like, Stone Cold, but he's got potential to go up there, for sure.
I mean, they definitely need some new blood, you know. Being 54, the only male model character that I will acknowledge is Rick Martel.
Mm.
But you have to be of a certain age to appreciate his genius. What was the perfume Rick Martel had? Arrogance? And he smiled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't beat that stuff. But, I mean, he's definitely got potential, and, you know, with the theory, and, like, they do have a lot of young potential talent to take over for the Cenas and the older guys. You know, Orton at some point is going to have to, not retire, but, like, not going to be able to take the bumps he takes still, so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's been gone and injured for so long. Obviously it's catching up to him. So we'll see where it ends up. But I'm excited for it. We'll see where that goes. What I consider to be the best storyline in WWE right now, the Bloodline with Sammy and Jay kind of at odds. It's just really, it feels good watching that. It feels real. Like the Jay's, either he's a great actor or he really doesn't like Sami Zayn because it looks like they just hate each other. Well, Jay hates him. Sammy just looks goofy all the time, which is great. But I have to say, I watched Sammy and Solo on TV. I think it was SmackDown. And they're doing a really good job of rebuilding Sammy. They're making him look tough, you know, and pairing him up with a, you know, obviously a bigger, tough guy. It's really helping kind of rebuild the stuff that he lost with all the comedy matches that we were worried about.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was first on that train to be like, this guy's so talented, and you're just totally burying him with these, you know, humor matches or whatever you want to call them, like the jackass thing. You know, that was funny, but it's like, this guy's just wasting away. You know, do that with, you know, Butterbean or something. But, like, you know, he's so talented. I do like his new look. He looks like he's in the middle of whatever the finished product will be. Like,
yeah,
it takes a long time to grow a beard and hair. So I'm hoping something happens sooner than later, because it's kind of almost like the White Rabbit thing, where it's, you know, it's not reaching its peak, but it's like, okay,
it's been going on for a while. Yeah,
what's the payoff?
They have to drag it out because Roman's not doing a lot of TV anymore, so they have to keep some kind of story in there. There's a weird part of me. I know that Cody Rhodes is the guy, but there's a weird part of me that thinks Sammy's going to take a title from Roman.
I would love that.
I mean, that would be huge. But I don't know if that's gonna. I mean, it would be huge. I would like to see that. I don't know if it's gonna happen.
Like KO gets in his ear, convinces him that he could be more than what he is. He's a lackey, whatever. The whole story plays out, and if they can't get The Rock, they figure out a way to give Sammy a title.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I would see a Sammy Roman, Sammy Mania. That people would go
different.
Nuts.
Like, yeah, you know, which is my main complaint with WWE is we've seen Lesnar Reigns, we've seen, you know, a lot of the matches before. You know, Edge has pretty much wrestled everyone on the roster twice. You know, so I'd be down for a Reigns revamped Zayn, just to be like, oh, okay, this is something I haven't seen a lot of.
Yeah, we're going to get something different with Logan Paul. That's Roman's next match. Apparently on Friday they're going to have their first face-to-face. I mean, again, somebody pointed out Logan Paul's only had two matches, and he's got that much potential just out of two matches. Because a lot of guys you see that debut in WWE, they've had a number of matches in the indies. This guy hasn't. He's only had those two matches, and he seems to, you know, kind of get it. So I'm hoping he actually goes through with it and becomes a long-term thing, and that way I can support him. But I'm still kind of on the fence with Logan Paul. I really don't think he should be on that title match.
I mean, it's not quite as bad as Arquette winning the title.
No.
Because I will give Logan Paul this. He does, like you say, seem to at least be invested in, you know, how do you do a frog splash correctly, and like, but I just think that, like you said, two matches in, you're getting a title shot. That's got to make, you know, the older guys on the roster, like Orton and Edge, and what they put their bodies through, Reigns, even Lesnar has put his body through quite a bit. That can't sit well in the locker room. And he strikes me, I don't know this to be true, but like, who'd walk into the locker room and go up to the biggest vet in there and go, this is what we're going to do in our match. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to, it's smart in the sense that I don't think there's a chance in hell that he wins. So I think it's a good way to get a loss under his belt so he can still, like, he lost to the guy at the top. And then anything else that happens after that, win, lose, or otherwise, it's not like this undefeated streak that he has. Or he's going to win by DQ, but...
God.
Because he's not aligned with anyone, is he?
The Miz at some... No, they've no, not, they not broke anymore, him up. Yeah. No.
No, he's alone, and he's supposed to be a babyface.
They're saying that Jake might accompany him.
See, I think he'd be better as a heel, just because his natural personality set him a YouTube dick.
Yeah.
So... But we'll see. I mean, like, he's... I'll give him this. At least he seems like he's putting the effort to you know, like Bad Bunny...
To train a little bit and get to work.
But it does... It kind of hurts the business.
Yeah.
You know, we all know it's... I don't like saying fake, but whatever you want to call it, when a guy who has virtually no wrestling experience...
It hurts the wrestling business. It doesn't hurt the entertainment business, because they're pulling in all these Logan Paul fans to watch whatever that Blood Money pay-per-view is going to be. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, people will tune in. You know, the good thing about him is I think half the people will tune in to see him lose. The other half want to see him win. So that's like, you can't – very few wrestlers have that. You know, most people cheer for Cena. They don't want to see him lose. But, like, when you can divide the audience like 50-50, it's the perfect scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on to some AEW stuff. We were talking about it earlier. Andrade and Sammy Guevara going back and forth on Twitter, just basically calling each other out. Sammy called Andrade a favor hire and a jobber. But then Andrade came out and before that, Andrade had come out during an interview and said basically that he hit Sammy, and Sammy complained that he hit him too hard or he stiffed him. And was complaining like a little girl, which is what prompted Sammy to kind of, you know, retort. But it's true, man. What are you doing? You're 20-something. And you're diving in, doing these crazy moves, falling through ladders and like, trying to kill yourself, basically. And you're complaining that a dude hit you a little stiff. Get out of here. Get in the ring with Sheamus. Let's see how that goes for you. Or Gunther. I want to see him with Gunther getting fucking chopped to death and see him complain then. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know who's right or wrong in this scenario. But Andrade was sent home at Dynamite, and apparently his match at Rampage is off. It is now going to be a trios title match between the Death Triangle and the Dark Order instead.
I mean, it's definitely a step down. Will be a good match for sure, but it's not Andrade and Sammy, but... You know, it's not a good sign all this stuff is happening in the locker room at AEW. It kind of signals that there's no real leaders in that locker room. Like, can you imagine this stuff happening with The Undertaker in that locker
room? Oh, no. Someone would get smacked.
Literally grab both guys and be like,
Yeah.
So I just don't understand how there's so much fire. I just don't understand. This is like a place of work. That's if like we found out that every night at the Comedy Store, someone jumped on stage and fought with a comic. Well, it happens a lot, but it doesn't happen that often in a small, like they only shoot one night a week. Yeah. How many fights can they have?
Well, I mean, I would think either Regal or Sting, being the elder people in the company, would be like, guys, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's just, it's a bad, that's why I don't think any of this is a work. It's because it looks bad. It's a bad look, and it's Tony shot himself in the foot by allowing first MJF to call him a fucking mark. If that was real and you allowed that to happen on your fucking show, none of the other wrestlers in the back are going to respect your company.
And I think the opposite. I think it's a bad look if this is real. Like, it's one thing if it's a work and you say, and like there's a match and everybody's like, oh, this was part of a story. If this is real, this is really bad look.
Well, yeah. I think it's real for sure.
Like, I'm not sold on any of it.
I mean, it's hard to say.
It's happening too often. Even didn't Jericho get into a fight with someone and the other guy, whatever is Kingston, Eddie Kingston's fighting with people. Everybody's
well,
fighting
Kingston them. Was fighting with Sammy.
Just put the cameras in backstage at this point.
I mean, I will say
that's true.
WWE, even when there were fights back in the day, it was pretty quiet. So I don't know, and maybe it's because Twitter wasn't that big back then. I mean, I think the first real backstage fight people talked about was Goldberg and Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg, Jericho, Batista, Booker T. I can't even name any other ones. I know The Miz got thrown out of the locker room, but I don't think there was a fight. I know of those two stories. I'm sure there were more. But, I mean, still.
And I think they were handled more like men back in the day. Like, and that's a long time ago, but not Brody Lee. Bruiser Brody and Lex Luger. They had a disagreement. They talked about it. No one knows what happened because it was just those two in the locker room. There was no tweeting from. Imagine if Bruiser Brody was tweeting.
I don't think he would have been able to use Twitter.
What does this mean?
Honestly, from what I gathered from watching backstage at Rampage, there isn't like a big locker room leader. Kingston was trying to wrangle people together to get on the bus. That's fine. But Tony Khan, first of all, he's a pushover. He's a young mark with money, as they've said. And he's not going around like yelling and screaming and demanding things. Everybody else, like Jericho and Regal, they were locked up in their own private locker room and then, you know, packing their bags as soon as they were done to get the fuck out of the arena. All the other boys are in one locker room together and, you know, that's where shit happens. And there isn't really someone in there kind of guiding them or being that Undertaker character, you know what I mean? There's just, I don't think there's a lot of control back there, and that's why shit like this happens.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I would think Regal would be the obvious choice just because he's not really wrestling and he could
smack someone real good.
Like, you could see last night in that segment he had with MJF, you could feel MJF's respect to him. Like, it almost broke the fourth wall of, like, okay, don't fuck this segment up. I'm in there with him. And I would think Sting would be the perfect, like, he's probably the most respected guy in wrestling just because he's still doing it at 63. Like, he would have a large clout in that locker room to go to Sammy and go, hey, dude, I've been where you are. You know, when I was with the Ultimate Warrior, the Blade Runners, this is what we were doing, like you. But, you know, you're right. He's a kid, so maybe he's like, fuck off, old man.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit, and he's a cocky young kid with Sammy. So, I don't know, man. There needs to be somebody there to kind of wrangle these guys, but there isn't. Not that I saw, anyway. Everybody's in there trying to get their shit in and trying to get out. So.
Well, that's also kind of what CM Punk's point was. Even if the old guys tried to break... I say the old guys, but like the Regal, the veterans try to break it up... CM Punk's point is that these young kids don't respect the vets, so it probably wouldn't have ended well. Like, I don't think Sting's getting away with trying to break up a fight.
Right, yeah.
But he could probably, like, I bet he could kick Sammy's ass. Like, yeah, he might be 63, but he's still pretty, like, I could see him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would be a good fight.
I think he would slap Sammy in the face, and Sammy would cry, and that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
And go, oh, man, I just got punked by a 63-year-old dude.
You know who they would benefit from? They need JBL over there. He will get them in order immediately.
Oh, yeah.
You hire JBL for 3 months, the shit stops right away.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be good. They need someone to just like, but I don't know. If they don't respect Regal or Sting, like, I don't know if you brought in even JBL, you know. If it would, you know, I see it with young comics up here. Like, they don't respect some of the older comics up here, and like, there's nothing you can do. Like, it's just, all right, they're just young, and
yeah, start smacking kids around here at the Comedy Store, Earl. I mean,
they know I'll kick their ass, and I'll go on Twitter for the next 2 years. So, you know, I got no remorse.
Speaking of MJF, it's not on my notes, but you know, what did you feel about him kind of teasing babyface turn? He kind of wanted to show respect to Wheeler, and then got mad when Lee Moriarty kind of jumped him, and he was kind of like, oh, what the fuck, you know, I didn't tell you to do that. And so it's kind of like a face turn tease.
I think he's much better as a heel. He's a great wrestler, by the way. Like,
also, he's jacked now. I don't know if he's shredded right now.
A little suspicious, but
a little juiced up, you think?
I mean, listen, as someone who used to be a certified trainer, you know, what was that match at the Kia Forum 4 months ago?
About 4 or 5 months ago.
He's in pretty good shape then, but now he's in great shape. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm always suspicious. I have no proof. He's certainly 26. He's young enough to put on that kind of mass and ripped physique, but I kind of forgot how good of a wrestler he was. Like, yep. He was really good last night.
Yeah, really good match, that one. Lethal and was it Darby was a good match too, and that was also a kind of a face tease with Lethal kind of mad that his boys came out. I don't know, there seems to be a lot of that going on, like transition.
That didn't make sense though, and that's once again like maybe AEW needs to get a Rob free for them. Like, Lethal's a great heel, like, yeah. And he's not even shown his full potential as a heel. You've got, you know, Singh and the other bald guy. That I didn't like that segment. It just didn't seem like it was fully thought out. And I didn't like the MJF segment with Moriarty. It's just like, it just seems so random to have him come and do what he did at the end. And I mean, I don't think MJF should be with the firm. It's just...
No, not at all.
It's just muddies. He doesn't need the help. Like, if there's one guy in that locker room, maybe even in pro wrestling right now, who doesn't need any additional mouthpieces or henchmen, it's MJF. So I hope there's some cool way they get him out of the firm. And Morrissey, I wouldn't mind, because I do like his look, but the rest, and I love the Gunn Brothers as a tag team, but I just, they're not even used in the firm, really. They're
no.
They're
kind of there. Yeah, they're just there. I think Morrissey has a good heater for him, kind of like when he had Wardlow on his side, you know? We'll see.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah. Also, I just put Wardlow versus Cage, because I knew that you would have some comments on it. I mean,
I came 3 times. I love to. Both of them look like a few of my exes. So like,
it's like two giant fucking steaks just slapping against each other last night. It was a good match, though. I would say Wardlow's best match since he's been just coming out and squashing people, not really having a wrestling match. This was an actual match where he had a Hurricane Rana at one point. He did a fucking crazy flippy thing off the top rope. Cage did a fucking 619. Like, there was. These are some big dudes to be doing these moves, you know?
I mean, I stood next to Cage at Flair's last match, and my God, he is a thick man. He's not just big, but he's just thick this way.
He's bigger than Wardlow. Wardlow's taller, but he's thicker.
But this was kind of like Hogan and Warrior. Like, you think these two guys, it's going to be basic power moves, but both guys can move, like the Hurricane Ranas. I mean, the 619 was a little slow.
Like, it was a little slow.
It was a little, like, it wasn't Mysterio doing it. But, like, still, like you said, what do you think Cage is, 350?
Three something, for
so
sure.
So that's pretty impressive. And for Wardlow to pick him up off of the 619.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
some people were mad at the 4 power bombs. Some of my friends were complaining, like, oh, you just buried Cage. I'm like, I don't know. It feels more like it took for to keep him down, as opposed to like with Morrissey, he only had one power bomb, and it felt kind of like, oh, he only needed one to take him out. You know what I mean? It felt more of a Barry job to do one than to do four.
I mean, I do. Like, I could see your friend's point of view and yours point of view, because I think it's both. Like, I do. I thought it was Cage's best match in AEW.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, you showcase, okay, we have another big man on this roster who can, like, be a foil to Wardlow and others. But I don't like how as soon as the power bombs start, you know, Cage was just done. Like, and I know you can't have him power up, because then that ruins the power bomb, you know, but I wish there was a way to make Cage just a little stronger where he's not incapacitated. But, you know, like you said, you could say, well, it took four times.
Well, yeah, they could have spread it out. He could have done like two power bombs. Cage pops up, and then later he gives him two more and, you know, yeah, puts him down. Like, you know, it would have made Cage look a little bit stronger. But I thought it was a great match. You wanted to talk about the punch.
I mean, listen, this is the problem with a high-def 4K television, which is why I don't watch porn on it, because you see everything. Oh, boy, porn in 4K.
No, thanks.
It's, girls' privates look like that thing Boba Fett fell into. but there was a punch the Cage threw that, like, literally, it was like, this far off.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
And Wardlow sold it to his credit, and you didn't really notice it. Like, you know, if you're not home, you know, horny, watching two big guys battle, you know, you probably don't pick up on it. But I replayed it over. I'm like, did I just see him miss a punch by at least a foot? So, but it was a very enjoyable match. Like, I do think they need to, I mean, they do have a decent big man division now with Morrissey. You know, Cage, I hope this isn't just a one-off.
No, it looks like they're building into some kind of three-way or six-man thing with Samoa Joe. FTR came out after that match. And then also our boy Toa Leona came out.
Right.
So, you know, I think they're going to make like some group. I think we'll see more Cage, actually, moving forward.
I'm just wondering, when are we going to see Satnam Singh in a ring?
Do you really want to see him in the
ring? I mean, like, if he's even halfway decent, like, and maybe he doesn't have a great body. Like, you know, that's what they did with Giant Gonzalez, is they put the muscle on.
With the hair.
Because he was just, there's no way that guy could be muscular. He's what, 7'8", you know, 300 pounds, but that's skinny for him.
Mm-hmm.
He might have a bad body, because I'm assuming there's a reason they're not putting him in the ring yet.
Yeah.
At least put him in there against Darby. Just let him throw Darby around. You don't damage Darby's character, because it's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's three times the size. Otherwise, he's just taking up TV time. Like, that end segment with Jay Lethal. It's like, what, is he going to come in and turn on Lethal? That'd be cool to see. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's just AEW storylines sometimes. It's like they're three quarters thought out. And I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this.
Yeah. You know, the last thing I wanted to mention about that woofed punch, that that botched punch, you know, Wardlow selling it, to his credit, that's, you know, good on him. But last week we had, or a couple weeks ago, we had Drew McIntyre, Scarlett from Killer Cross or Karrion Kross, threw a fireball at him and missed completely, and he didn't sell it. He was supposed to sell it, but he did an interview afterwards like, man, that thing was nowhere near me, and I wasn't going to sell it and look like an idiot. You know what I mean? That shows veteran years of experience of like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not going to ruin my character and jump to the ground if it didn't even come close, you know?
I mean, I didn't like that answer because, and I'm dating myself, he's no longer with us, so the younger kids are going to, what's this guy talking about? But Mr. Perfect would have found some way to sell that.
Like, that's true.
I'm still in awe at that diamond cutter Carl Malone gave him, and he would have thought that Mr. Perfect was being electrocuted because it's like that. Find a way to sell it. And I know it's easy to say that, you know, weeks after it happened, and we can analyze it from 80 angles on TV, but like, I understand what he's saying, but it's your job to sell stuff.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And then finally, something that I should have brought up last week, but I didn't. I forgot, because it was kind of a flop. But Soraya. I don't know how she said. She's It's a weird name. I would say Saraya because I'm Latino, but it's not that. Saraya is back in wrestling. Paige. And she's in AEW. She had a rough first night. She admitted it herself, went on Twitter and apologized that she was nervous and had a little bit of rust. But it's kind of weird. They teased whether, you know, she's not ring ready or cleared by the doctors, and then she fought or punched Britt Baker. So is she not cleared? Is she cleared? I thought she was going to start taking on a GM role because she was trying to book matches and stuff for other ladies. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about her yet, and I don't know if the approach of, like, she's not cleared, but then she's throwing punches, if that's sending any kind of clear message to anyone either.
I mean, I think with her, maybe there's a hesitancy to clear her because they don't have enough safe workers in the women's division. Like,
that's true.
I think you could put her in there with Baker, and that would be good, you know, veteran, like Toni Storm. But I guess they're kind of allied. So I don't know if there's enough safe workers on the women's side to, because there's a lot of botches in the women's division in AEW, and that's not a knock on them. It's just
reality. Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that she would feel comfortable taking a pile driver from anyone but Britt Baker. And I like that matchup. You know, the first big feud for her, I mean, two bitches, basically. They'd be good on the mic, so you could do a nice build up toward whatever the next pay-per-view is. I'm sure it has the word all in it. So, I mean, it is going to be curious how they protect her, I guess.
I'm worried, is putting her right in there with Britt Baker. I mean, you're kind of limiting now where she can go from there. I mean, Toni Storm is the champ, so her. But, like, what other big names are in the women's division for her to take on?
I mean, I guess Thunder Rosa when she comes back.
Maybe.
If she comes back.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I looked like a legit injury. I mean, they had her in one of those knee things.
Yeah.
Unless that was phony, but.
I think it's a work.
oh, my God.
Don't you think? Yeah,
everything is a work.
Everything AEW and Cody Rhodes is a work. Paige is cleared for wrestling. I think they're going to do the Daniel Bryan thing, have her on the mic a bunch, and then eventually get her into the mix. She has to get a feel for these people. These are nobody she's ever really dealt with before.
Dude, you probably think 9/11 is a work.
Oh, did you see those? Did you see the? I mean, I'm still missing some information.
Well, I did watch the one.
Jesse Ventura. Listen.
You know, the guy had me for 80%. Like, okay, that sounds like it could have happened. And yeah. And then he's like, I've got proof that 9 of the 19 hijackers are still alive. You just lost me.
I'm from New York. The Twin Towers are still there.
Oh, okay.
If you haven't been to New York, the Twin Towers, still up.
Well, that Twin Towers Memorial I went to was a great ruse.
Oh, that was hologram. We have great technology in New York. Yeah, guys, just for the record, because nobody could take a joke anymore, I believe that 9/11 was real.
Yes, guys, we're joking. This is the Comedy Store wrestling.
We have jokes here. I don't want anybody commenting that, oh my God, they have a 9/11 denier up there.
Maybe if they think you're a denier, we'll get some numbers.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that might be fun.
I want you to know the week after 9/11, when I heard the hijackers practice on the Microsoft simulator, I bought it. I gotta be honest with you. Those guys were pretty good because I couldn't even. They had you start with the Cessna, and I couldn't even get the Cessna off the runway.
Well, I mean, I hope that Saraya is gonna be a good move for AEW's women's division. But honestly, I feel like I said, putting her right up there with Britt Baker. You know, where are you gonna go from there? You should have had her knock out a couple of young, you know, up and comers or something, and then get to Britt Baker. But we'll see. I'm hoping it helps.
What's the over under for them in any feud bringing up her leaked videos? They tend to get very personal in these feuds. Well, you know, like,
yeah,
you think it's gonna be brought up?
Oh,
right?
For sure.
Yeah,
they're definitely gonna bring up the video at
some
point.
Who was she in the video with?
Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox.
Now, are they in WWE still?
Xavier Woods, yeah, he's in the New Day.
But what about the other guy?
The other guy, no, he's not wrestling anymore.
See, I think if Tony Khan's smart, you have that guy come out. Cut
oh boy! Oh Yay. Boy! I mean, if Tony Khan was smart, he would shut down AEW. save his money.
But I mean, well,
this isn't going
well.
She got a huge pop when she came up. Yeah. When she came out. Nobody's talking about her anymore. It's over for AEW. There are no more surprises left.
There's still Bray Wyatt.
Even if he shows up, he can't save AEW. He can't use the Fiend, and that he's going to have a new character. It's not going to be able to be the same. It's not going to have the same feel. It's going to feel like a copy of WWE. Bray can't save them. It's over.
But he's so normally I would agree with you, but he's so distinct looking that it's not like people are going to be like, who's this guy? Like, so
it's okay, Earl. AEW will be fine. They'll be around for a couple more years WWE buys them.
I am worried. I don't know if you guys noticed this watching Dynamite. I got a keen eyeball. That was not a big crowd because upper half of the arena was noticeably dark and curtained off.
Yeah.
It looked like a big crowd because, you know, I'm sure they told the 8 people who were sitting in the colonnade, hey, you guys come down in the front row. Although I will say I did like the Asian guy in the Orange Cassidy outfit.
That was yeah, in the front row. That was
what
funny.
What a fucking idiot.
Look, I love AEW. I'm a big fan of wrestling. So to me, that's a wrestling company, not really an entertainment company. It's a highly funded, high budget indie show, and I love that. But they're hurting. And if all this bullshit is a work, it's not working. And if it's not a work, they're doomed. Like, it's pretty bad. Last thing on the notes from Dynamite, I want to just give a little scissor me for National Scissoring Day. That was good. That was a good... I thought Bowens was great on the mic, which I hadn't really seen him do a long promo. I thought that was awesome. Daddy Ass is as over as he's ever been. I do think that they handed out to the crowd a bunch of stuff to make it more scissory because I don't think everybody brought all that shit themselves.
Yeah,
there was a lot of shit in the crowd.
Fake scissors.
everybody knows how to make oak tag scissors all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so did you guys read the article? FTR is pissed that they're not being used?
Yeah, in New Japan, they fucking, I forget, I think it was Harwood, fucking called out Tony Khan.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you compare them to the Acclaimed, you know why. They just don't have the entertainment factor.
Yeah, they're wrestlers. They're not entertainers.
And that's what Tony's supposed to be at AEW. He's supposed to be the wrestling company. He should be utilizing these guys, but I don't think they get the same pop that the Acclaimed do because you know you're getting entertainment. Well,
I mean, they were at first when they got all the belts they stopped using them.
I mean, Dax Harwood is a... pretty good on the mic, you know, just as a badass, like almost like a Scott Steiner. Like, I'm just a great badass wrestler. The other guy, he's a little stiff on the mic. So,
yeah,
you know, it is like both of you mentioned, it's tough, like, because I definitely think AEW goes for more of the entertainment, you know, factor and the kind of the overproduced matches. And they're just wrestlers. Like,
yeah.
So it's tough, you know.
Did you watch the New Japan thing with Harwood?
I have not, no.
So he basically, after their match with United Empire, which is Ospreay's guys,
yeah.
They had apparently, I haven't seen it yet, it's going to come out soon, but apparently that was FTR's best match ever, according to them. So I'm looking forward to seeing that match. But after the promo, he comes on the mic, he's like, Tony Khan, first thing, we still work for you, brother, book us.
I mean, I do like United Empire, like Ospreay or no Ospreay, like especially the younger kid.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know. Right. Ospreay Jr.?
Not the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, Ospreay Jr.
That guy has a great look, though. Like almost like a slightly more in shape Magnum TA. Like,
yeah.
So I do like them as heels, and I just, you know, it's a tough one when, you know, I would say FTR is almost like Lance Storm was as a singles wrestler. Just a great, badass wrestler. But at the end of the day, you do have to kind of sell the match on the mic. And, you know, I do like the 8-year-old daughter. Like,
yeah, that was a good promo.
That's a pretty good promo. And then she slapped the guy. Didn't she break the guy's
Yeah, Sanjay, the bald dude from Satnam and everything.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why I can't remember his name.
Sanjay.
There's only one Arab manager I will acknowledge, and that's Daivari.
Oh.
You remember Daivari Muhammad Hassan's character speaking in 9/11? That was a great guy to promote in the early 2000s. So you know, it's tough. You know, but I could see United Empire having that same problem because outside of Ospreay, I don't think I've ever heard the other two guys on the mic.
No,
so I don't they don't look like they'd be good on the mic, but who knows?
Who knows? We'll see. Maybe they'll learn something from Ospreay. All right, let's jump into the Extreme Rules predictions. It's kind of, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches, and I put on the list also Bray Wyatt return to see who wins, who gets the most predictions correct. All right, starting off, we got the Brawling Brutes versus Imperium in a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match.
What a way to start off the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I give zero fucks about this match.
I mean, I care because I like Imperium and they're hard-hitting, so it's going to be a fun, hard-hitting match. I don't care about the stipulation. Well, they're going to use that fucking shillelagh and... maybe there's going to be a barrel somewhere. I don't get the stipulation.
Cowbell.
Yeah, like we don't need that stipulation, but I get that they want to have every match have something for it to be Extreme Rules. I'm going to go with Imperium on this one. How about you, Earl?
You know, I like John just said, I don't really care who wins this match. Literally all four guys could die in the ring. It wouldn't affect my life in the slightest.
Well, pick one so we can have a champion at some point.
Well, I think we're all going to pick Imperium. Right?
Okay.
Absolutely not. If there's no title on the line, the Brutes are winning.
I'm going Imperium.
All right. Imperium, and we got Brutes for John. All right. Edge versus Finn in what is hopefully the last time we see this match and see this Edge versus the fucking Judgment Day. I'm done. Move on.
You're done with Edge versus Finn, and it's being pitched as the first time they ever fought.
I mean, I'm just over this whole storyline with Edge and the Judgment Day. But we're going to get an I Quit match before I quit on this fucking storyline. Fuck, my heart says Finn because I really want him to win and I want this Judgment Day thing to succeed. But I have a feeling Edge is not going to give it up. So I'm going to pick Finn. I'm going to follow my heart. We're going to go with Finn. How about you, Earl?
I mean, Finn should win. Like, I know we're going on logic here. Edge is not going to be any more over or under, win or lose.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Finn.
Ooh. All right. How about you, John?
Yeah, I'm going with Finn. I imagine there's going to be major interference. Rey isn't going to be able to defend Edge. It's going to either lead
to... I mean, that'd be cool.
It's going to either lead to Edge versus Rey or what I really want to see, which is Edge beating the shit out of Dominic. So I have to go with Finn.
All right. Next up, we got Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross in a strap match. This is interesting because Kross needs this win, but kind of so does Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre isn't really doing much. He needs to elevate back towards that title picture thing, and if he loses to Kross, that's a drop down the list. But I'm going to go Kross. I think Kross wins. He's fresh. And, you know, they're building him up. That promo package with him and Scarlett was awesome. High production. So I'm hoping Kross is the choice.
I mean, it's kind of a Barry job if McIntyre loses, but I think he will. I'm going to go with Kross, even though I want I like McIntyre more.
All right.
If they bring back Kross and he loses this, it's the biggest waste of a talent. So yeah. It has to be Kross. McIntyre is going to bounce back regardless. He has before. He lost to Brock. I mean, whoever he lost the title to, he's been losing plenty. He'll be back.
I mean, McIntyre's almost in that Zayn mold of, like, not the humor stuff, but the kind of, he's just there right now.
He's just there, but he lost his big match at the Castle. If he loses this, I mean, that's a big step down for him on the list. I really hope not. But again, yeah, like you're going to ruin this whole buildup with Kross on the, I don't know. That's a tough one, but I'm going with Kross too. So we got three Kross. Okay, cool. Riddle versus Rollins in a fight pit match with Daniel Cormier as the special guest referee.
Daniel Cormier. Get out.
I think Daniel Cormier wins. No, I'm just kidding. Shit, man. This is a tough one. I feel like Riddle has to win. It's his match. It's his gimmick or whatever. I think he's done the other two, right? No, they were both his. It's his gimmick. So, but Rollins is really popular right now. I don't know. What do you? Let me let you go first. I'm still thinking.
I mean, it's tough because Rollins is in that kind of McIntyre and Zayn, like he's just there, but he is more popular than he's been in a while. I don't like him ever since he literally almost killed Sting. Like, Jesus Christ, dude, way to protect your elders. I mean, it's a tough one because, you know, I want Rollins to win, but I think Riddle will.
Riddle?
Yeah.
How about you, John?
I'm also going Riddle. I imagine we're going to see a very Tyson-esque moment where Cormier punches Seth Rollins out and Riddle wins. Things have been getting so personal on Riddle's side where, like, Rollins is going after the family stuff. Riddle has to win.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's going to be Riddle, too. But I'm going to go Rollins only because I feel like they got to throw a curveball in there in this pay-per-view.
The curveball is we're not going to fall asleep during the Brutes match. They're going to do something exciting.
I mean, I do think what would be cool, and you'd have to follow MMA to get this, Cormier interferes, and all of a sudden some black dude in a mask comes, pulls in this John Jones, and just starts beating the shit out of Cormier. Like, that would be, like, something that would get outside clicks or whatever you want to call it. You know, even though John Jones is kind of off the radar for many reasons, but that would be pretty, you know, kind of like, who did they do that with two MMA guys in the past? I think Shamrock and Severn.
Dan Severn, yep.
They had, like, a wrestling match, which was kind of fun to see, you know, because you knew they could fight for real. But
also, didn't they have something in, like, the Heart Basement?
Yeah.
It was like Owen versus somebody. Was it Shamrock? It could have been Owen versus Shamrock, something in the Heart Dungeon.
So, I mean, that would be like if I was a writer going, hey, why don't we bring in John Jones after Cormier? Because Cormier loves wrestling, like pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that might be giving WWE too much credit for a good storyline.
All right, well, I'm going to go with Rollins just because, not because I think it's going to happen. I just feel that there's going to be a curveball, and we're all picking the same except for the first match. So I want to be the one, the odd man out here, and see if I'm going to take my chances. Belair versus Bayley in a ladder match. I'm going to go with Bayley. I think it's Bayley's time. I think that image of Bayley and the two girls, Io and why am I blanking on her name right now? Dakota Kai. I think that the three of them with the belts looks good, the damage control, so I think they're going to go with that.
Has there been a female ladder match before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I definitely, I think on NXT, I'm trying to think.
NXT had a lot of them with, like, multiple women. I don't know if there's been a one-on-one.
I'm interested to see this, because not because I want to see two broads rubbing up against each other on ladders, but...
Your dream girl knows how to work a ladder.
Oh, my God.
She works in construction.
The ladders they'd have to get if Dewdrop.
Oh, my God. It was going so well.
Sturdy ladders.
Imagine if they had Dewdrop and Awesome Kong. They'd have to reinforce the ring. And, like, at least one of my exes comes in from the ceiling for the save. Oh, boy.
Jeez.
You think I came during the Cage Wardlow fight? I'm going to go because I grew up in Bel Air. Bel Air, Bianca.
All right. How about you, John?
Yeah, I think this Bel Air title run is a big flop. Nobody's talking about it. No one's excited to see it the way they are excited to see, like, a Charlotte match or a, what's her name?
So I didn't hear it. So Bel Air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bel-Air. Oh, no, sorry. Bayley.
Bayley. Okay.
Yeah,
Bayley.
I think Belair's title run has just been a flop.
Yeah, I agree with you. Another women's match, Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey in an Extreme Rules match.
Zero fucks given.
Yeah, I'm going to be in a bathroom for this one, but...
It's going to be a 3-second slaughter. I imagine this is going to... Liv has had her time in the spotlight. This is going to be a slaughter.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rousey. You too, I'm guessing, John?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Earl?
Well, this is where the lines of reality and wrestling kind of... It's just not believable that Liv would be Rousey.
But she's been training with Riddle.
And it's an Extreme Rules match where she can use weapons.
Oh, I forgot about that. It's still going to be Rousey in under 3 minutes.
I mean, I do think this is going to be like a Wardlow against, like... some jobber type. But, you know, and I don't think this type of stuff happens with Triple H, but if Vince were still in charge, I would pick Liv. Just because, you know, he likes those, like, what type of matches. But it's Rousey. I'm going with Rousey.
Okay.
So this is going to be basically down to the first match.
Well, the first and the Riddle Rollins and the Belair Bayley. Those are the there's three chances for us to kind of have a winner here. And then the Bray Wyatt returns at Extreme Rules. I mean, I'm going to go with yes, and I feel like I'm going to get heartbroken, and it's going to be Joe Gacy, but I'm still going to go yes.
I'm going to go no.
No.
This is the only time I'll compare AEW or WWE to AEW. It just seems like they're almost stalling now because either they couldn't get him signed or something happened. Maybe he got hurt and he signed, but he can't wrestle right now. It just reeks of, oh, this should have happened maybe a little sooner. So I'm going to go no Wyatt.
No Wyatt.
I don't think they're going to use it on Extreme Rules. Maybe Survivor Series. They love those big moments at the Big Four. I wouldn't be surprised if they make everybody wait until day one of Royal Rumble for Wyatt.
Oh, if he was the last guy on Rumble.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they love those big pops. I don't think they're using... Like, which match would... Like, that was going to be my question. If we all said yes, which match do you see him coming in?
Right, yeah.
Possibly Riddle versus Rollins, just because RK, and that could bring Randy back.
And Rollins also had a Hell in a Cell match with Bray.
I mean, two of these matches, like, it's not going to be Belair, it's not going to be the Liv match. McIntyre Cross, possibly.
I mean, I could see him Edge versus Sven, just because the brood and the spookiness and all that garbage.
Yeah. That's true. If he came back as the head of Judgment Day,
they could just turn him into a total freak and have him just powerbomb Rousey through a table.
Well, that would be great.
Well, no, do you know how hard that crowd would pop?
They also have to add some more matches. This looks light. Like, are
it
we not having?
The Usos aren't on the card.
Usos aren't on the card. KO's not on the. I think. I mean, and we don't have any more.
KO doesn't really have a story going right now.
There's no, like, Raw's over. So the only chance they have to add more matches is Friday night. KO's not getting a match.
Or if...
Unless it's KO versus Little Uso.
This is a long shot, but this is...
Uh-oh, here we go.
If you have Elias come out.
Oh, that beard isn't back yet.
Doesn't matter. Just give him the guitar, he starts singing, "Last night I stayed at the Hyatt."
Yeah.
And then Bray Wyatt comes out and just fucking... hammers him.
We're not going to see Elias till he grows that beard back, I think.
Come on. You got a Marvel writer. Give him a beard.
Well, they did that. It looked terrible, remember?
Family picture with, like, the little kid had the beard, too.
Yeah, dude. So, wait, is that a no from you, John?
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
I'm going to put a caveat into my yes and just say yes, but maybe not in person. We might get a video package or some kind of
That would be a promo.
Well, then I don't consider that him coming back. Like, he needs to physically be there.
Yeah, well, if you did so a video package, like...
But I need to know what the other... Is this going to be a 3-4 hour event?
Eight-hour pay-per-views.
I can't watch McIntyre and Cross for more than 7 minutes.
But I would love a quick pay-per-view. I mean, not rushed, but, like, I would love to see this... be done in 2.5-3 hours.
Same.
I mean,
I'm on the same boat. Enough with Imperium, long-ass pay-per-views.
Brutes and Imperium got such a rave review for their last battle. I imagine this is going to be one of the longer matches.
Yeah.
McIntyre Cross might be long. Edge and Finn, I don't think is going to be particularly long. Liv and Ronda, if that goes more than 7 minutes, I'll be shocked.
I think Belair Bayley is going to go long.
That's going to go long because it's a ladder match, so that makes sense.
I mean, Rousey will be I think we all think it's a squash, so that could be a under 5 minute match.
I mean, I just don't think Liv is going to survive more than 5 minutes. Like, she's just very fragile.
I mean, if it's based on reality, no. I mean, UFC heavyweight or female champion.
I'm like looking at the roster now. Who the hell could they add a match for? It would have to be something with Sammy.
They could add something with Sammy and Solo to the kickoff show or something. Yeah. I think the Liv and Rousey match might go long because of the Extreme Rules stipulation. They might do one of those stupid things where they just brawl all over the arena and just hang out in the crowd for a while.
Oh no!
And eventually make themselves, you know, get back into the ring, but. We'll see. If they do add matches, we'll text about it and we'll talk about it next week. But these are our predictions for now with what we got. And hopefully we'll get a defining winner. If not, we'll figure out some kind of challenge between. If there is a tie, we'll do a funny challenge amongst ourselves on camera here.
Who has the best dick pic?
The two losers have to scissor.
Trust me, I'd win.
But that'll do it for us here tonight. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Please make sure to follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast on Instagram and all the things. Earl?
Real simple, at Earl Skakel everywhere, and Inappropriate Earl Podcast after you listen to this podcast.
Hell yeah. Thanks again, everyone.